Shelley opened the Word of God, Habakkuk. Let us read together Habakkuk chapter 1, whole verses from verse 1 to 17, and key verse 2, 4, and last chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Let us read chapter 1 alternatively and key verses together. Okay, let me start verse 1. Oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are alone to themselves and promote their own honor. They all come bent on violence, their hosts advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Is it to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Okay, chapter 2, verse 4. Actually, chapter 2, verse 4 is a key verse of this book, not only in this book, but also in the whole Bible, to make one essential doctrine of Christianity, very, very important verse. And chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 is the conclusion of this book. Let us read together. Ready, go. See his hopes up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. 3:17-19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my strings instruments. Good. Now we are starting prophets in the Old Testament. Habakkuk is one of the 12 minor prophets. Actually, in the last part of Old Testament, from Hosea to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, Hosea, do you remember? Last 12 books of Old Testament. Hosea, starting with Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Michael, Nahum, Habakkuk, and four books more, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These 12 books are called minor prophets, 12 minor prophets. But we must know that minor does not mean less importance, but minor means just small size, small amounts. Relatively big size prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are called major prophets, depending on size, not depending on importance. Today we are to study Habakkuk. Then little is known about Habakkuk's personal background in his book. Habakkuk mentions nothing of his personal genealogy or location. Is there any announcement? Do you hear me at the backside? Okay. His name, Habakkuk, means embrace, include, and cling to, stick to. Then at the end of his book, his name, becomes appropriate because Habakkuk chooses to cling firmly to God, regardless of what happens to himself, to his nations. As we read already in his conclusion, chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19. Let me read for us again. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Are you saved? If we are saved, if we have assurance of salvation, that assurance of salvation is more than enough reason for us to be joyful, to be thankful to God, regardless of what happens to us in our circumstances, in our surroundings. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. His name Habakkuk appears in the whole Bible only two times in his book. In chapter 1, verse 1, we can see his name appears, chapter 1, verse 1, oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. And in last chapter, chapter 3, verse 1, also we can see his name's appearance. A prayer. He finished his book with prayer, with praise to God, with a psalm of praise. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. So even though his name appears only two times in the whole Bible, as I mentioned already, the key verse of this book is so important that this key verse is repeated again, quoted in the New Testament. Can you guess how many times? Three times. I will show you later, and we will study about this topic later more clearly, more in detail. 2:4 says, see, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. This is the title of this sermon, not only title of this sermon, but key verse, main theme of this book, also the whole Bible. Shall we repeat three times, only last part of this sentence? The righteous will live by his faith. Okay. Shall we shout three times? The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by faith. Without looking up to heaven. The righteous will live by his faith. Okay. This short sentence is quoted three times in the New Testament. Let me show you briefly. Okay. First, Romans chapter 1, 17. Actually, in the book of Romans, this sentence is a key verse of book Romans. Romans 1, 17. Romans 1, 17. Let us read together. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written. Stop, please. Just as it is written. Where? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Just as it is written in the prophet Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, 11. Let us read together. Galatians 3, 11. Let it go. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Shall we read together? But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. We know one of the great great, one of the greatest doctrines of Christianity, justification by faith. Did you hear? This is one of the greatest doctrines of Christianity, justification by faith. We call it in Korean word, 이신칭의, or 이신득의, in English, justification by faith. This great doctrine of Christianity, justification by faith, comes from this short sentence, repeated four times in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The righteous yes. We must cry. We must cry to God to receive blessing. She is a good example. She is a good model. So, in conclusion, we will study about justification by faith in the second part of my sermon, but still we are in the part of introduction. Okay, when is the time of this book, Habakkuk? First introduction is, when is the time of this book, Habakkuk? In this book, Habakkuk has only three chapters, very short book. And in this book, there is no mention of king. So it is not easy for us to guess the time, historical backgrounds. But we can get a hint to get the time of this book. Chapter 1, verse 6, God says, I am raising up the Babylonians that ruthless and impetuous. This sentence is the hint given to us to get the time of this book. It means the prediction of the coming Babylonian attack, invasion to Judah, indicates prophet Habakkuk lived in Judah forward the end of the southern kingdom of Judah. As we know, we studied last Sunday, before Babylonia, Assyria was one time the most powerful nation in ancient time, about for 200 years, from 850 to 650 BC. Then, after that, Assyria started to decrease rapidly, and Babylonia started to rise up in world history. So, in 612 BC, Assyrian capital city, Nineveh, was overrun, defeated by Babylonia. After that, Assyria became weaker and weaker, and moved their capital city to Haran, and then later moved again to Carchemish. We heard the word Carchemish several weeks ago, Carchemish. Then in 605 BC, Assyria and Egypt allied, joined together, and fought against Babylonia. This is called the Carchemish Battle, the Battle of Carchemish. Remember? Anyway, at this battle, the allied forces of Assyria and Egypt were completely defeated, destroyed by Babylonia. with this battle, Assyria ceased to exist as an independent power in world history. Then Egypt retreated and was no longer a significant force in Asian Near East, in Korean, Geundong, Near East. Then Babylonia reached its economic, political, military peak after 605 BC. Then at this same year, 605 BC, Babylonia, the king of Babylonia, Nebuchadnezzar, attacked Jerusalem, southern kingdom's capital city, Jerusalem, and took some important people to Babylon, including whom? Including Daniel. This is called the first deportation, first Babylonian captivity. And then again, in 597, Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem and did the same thing. Took some important people to Babylon, including at the time Ezekiel. This is called the second deportation. And then finally, in BC 586, Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah, was defeated, destroyed completely by Babylonia. Then the prophet Habakkuk prophesied prior to the invasion, prior to the attack of Babylonia to Judah. So the probable date for this book is about between 612 and 605. Clear or confused? May God bless all of us. Anyway, this book, Habakkuk, has only three chapters. Then among prophetic writings, this book, Habakkuk, is somewhat unique in that this book includes no oracle addressed to Israel or southern kingdom of Judah. This book, Habakkuk's style is two rounds of dialogue between Habakkuk and God. In chapter 1, chapter 2, two times there is a discussion, debate, oral dialogue, conversation between Habakkuk and God. And then finally in chapter 3, last chapter, Habakkuk finished his book with praise, with thanks in his conclusion we read already. His conclusion confession, faith confession is, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Shall we say it together? Though, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because of salvation. Salvation is enough, more than enough, to give thanks, praise, honor, exaltation to God. First, in chapter 1, first complaints of Habakkuk is this. Habakkuk complains against God. Why? How? His first complaint is, shall we see? Chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 4 is first complaint of Habakkuk. His first complaint is like this. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Do you see injustice around you sometimes? Yes. Do you see evil? Yes. Do you see bad around us sometimes? Like this Habakkuk complained to God. Why? Why do you allow me to see evil around me? You are good. You are right. You are Almighty God. You are omnipotent God. There is nothing impossible with you. Then why you allow still evil exist around me in this world? This is the first question, first complaint of Habakkuk. To this complaint, God's answer is, okay. Anyway, his first complaint is, easily speaking, is, why? Why does evil in Judah go unpunished? To this first complaint of Habakkuk, God's answer is, okay, Babylonia. I prepare Babylonia to punish evil in Judah. Verse 6 says, this is the answer of God to Habakkuk's first complaint. Verse 6, I am raising up the Babylonians, the ruthless, impetuous, treacherous. With this answer of God, Habakkuk became more confused. His second complaint, his second question is, yes, Habakkuk says, yes, I know, I agree. My country Judah, Israel, is wicked, evil, bad to you, God. But compared relatively, that country, Babylonia is more wicked, more evil, worse than us. Then why do you use more wicked country to punish less wicked country? This is Habakkuk's second complaint against God. Then to this second complaint of Habakkuk, God's answer is chapter 2, verse 4. You are righteous. Do you have a righteous relationship with me? If you are declared righteous by faith, you must live by what? By faith in me, not by sight of circumstances, not by sight of surroundings. So we can say this story is from doubt to certainty, from questioning to affirming, from complaint to confidence. And Habakkuk understanding God's will, God's sovereignty, God is good all the time. God is right. God is good, God is righteous. Whether he understood or not, whether he agreed or not, he praised God with prayer. He finished his book with prayer of praise, psalm of praise. The righteous will live by faith. I said already, the greatest doctrine of Christianity, justification by faith, comes from this short sentence, the righteous will live by faith. Okay, so let me make it clear, this huge doctrine of Christianity in short time, justification by faith. Shall we say it together? Justification by faith. Justification by faith. What is the logical order? What is the logical order in our experience of salvation? Did you have experience, personal experience of salvation? Yes. The idea, the term of salvation is so huge, so great for us to contain in our brain. So, the same experience of salvation can be expressed in different words, such as conversion, justification, regeneration, born again, regeneration, union with Jesus Christ, and adoption, adopted as a child of God. Then practically, all of them, conversion, justification, regeneration, union with Jesus Christ, adoption, take place, happen at the same instant, at the same time, immediately. But there is a logical order. There is a logical sequence. Logically speaking, in our salvation experience, first conversion comes. This is a logical order, not practical order. First, what comes? First, conversion comes. And then conversion is followed by justification. And then justification is followed by regeneration, born again. And then regeneration is followed by union with Jesus Christ. And then union with Jesus Christ is followed by adoption, children of God. By nature, originally speaking, by nature, man, including you and me, man is not only child of the evil one, but also transgressor, sinner, guilty, criminal. Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, even not one. Ephesians 2, 1, 2, 3 says, as for you, also as for me, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, following, when you followed the ways of this world, these sinful worlds, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. Like this, all of us lived at one time among them, following the cravings of sinful nature, our sinful nature and sinful nature's thoughts and desires. So like them, like the lost, we were by nature objects of wrath, God's anger. Question is, then how can a man be just with God? How can a man be declared righteous by righteous God and have a righteous relationship with God? Actually, in regeneration, we receive new life, new nature. Then in justification, we receive new standing, new position before God. Then biblically, justification may be defined as that act of God. Justification, this is the definition of justification, biblically. Justification is the action of God, not action of man. Action of God in which God declares him righteous, who believes in Jesus Christ. So justification is a declarative act of God. Justification is not something works in man, but something declared of man. Then how can you and I, be declared righteous by God? Okay, let me say how the method of justification, three things biblically. Number one, first, it is by the grace of God. First of all, we must be clear, definitely, negatively, no one can be declared righteous before God by keeping the law, by good works, by the work of the law. This is very clear. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Only rather through the law we become conscious of sin. Then positively, it is only by the grace of God. Romans 3:24 says, we are justified freely, for nothing, freely, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Very, very clear. Through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. It means the grace of God is the root, source of our justification. Our justification thus originates in the heart of God, in the hearts of God. Our justification started from the heart of God. Realizing God is omniscient, God knows everything, anything. Then realizing not only our lack of righteousness, but also our inability to attain righteousness, God in his grace, in his kindness, decided to provide the righteousness for us. You know, God is not under obligation to do it, but in his grace, God has regard for our guilty. Also, in his mercy, he had regard for our miserable condition. So we can say our justification is from the heart of God, and grace of God is the root or source of our justification. Number two, it is by the what? This by the blood of Jesus Christ. This by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says, since we have been justified through by the blood of Jesus Christ, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. It means the blood of Jesus Christ sets forth the foundation and grounds of our justification. If we say the grace of God is the root under the ground, the root or source of our justification, we can say the blood of Jesus Christ is the ground, foundation of our justification. It means because Jesus Christ has borne the penalty, punishments of our sin in his body, on his body, on the cross, God is able to remit the punishments and to restore us to his favor. God is righteous. God is just. So in justification, our sins are not excused, but punished in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why Jesus is called our substitute. Shall we say, Jesus is my substitute. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that his death on the cross has satisfied fully God's claims against us. Romans 3:25 says, Jesus Christ was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again to life for our justification. Finally, number three, it is by the what? The righteous will live by what?
Faith.
So it is by faith. It is by the blood. It is by grace of God. It is by blood of Jesus Christ. And number three, it is by
faith.
Romans 5:1, very clear. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Romans 10:10 says, it is with your heart. Do you have heart? Heart? You have heart? It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Galatians 2:16, very clear. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too put our faith in Jesus Christ so that we may be declared righteous. By faith in Jesus Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be declared righteous. How clear. It means faith. Faith is just a condition of our justification. If you say grace of God is the root of our justification, the blood of Jesus Christ is the foundation, ground of our justification, then our faith, do you have faith? Faith is just a condition of our justification, not meritorious grounds of it. Please remember this. It is not for faith we are justified, but by faith. It is not for faith, but by faith we are declared righteous by righteous God. Faith is not the price we paid for this justification. It is just a means of appropriating it. Then, if we are declared righteous by God, what is the result of this justification? Let me say quickly, there are many, many results, fruits, abundance, benefits we can enjoy, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. First, the results of this justification is there is remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. It means the condemnation is gone. No more condemnation. Bible says there is no more condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Also, there is peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Peace with God. Only real, true heavenly peace can be found by Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It means there is a restoration to God's favor. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become righteousness of God. It means there is a imputation, deliverance, imputation of Christ's righteousness into us. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is our righteousness. If we are declared righteous by God, we can be sure, we can be assured of final goal, what? Glorification. Do you have assurance of glorification? Amen. Amen. This is not my word. This is the word of God through his word, Bible. Romans 8:30 says, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God's predestination, God's calling, God's justification, God's glorification for us already done in God's sight. The righteous will live by faith. Do you have any complaint to God? Do you have any question to God? Yes, maybe we can say, if we live by sight, oh God, you are almighty, then why there are evils, bad things? Why such a thing happened to me? I attend church every Sunday, every dawn prayer meeting, I pray to you. Why this bad thing happened to me? Why it seems that bad men with bad men, everything goes well. Everything goes well with bad men. Why good men in trouble? Why good men in difficulty, suffering? To this question, to this complaint, even today, God's answer is same. The righteous will live by faith, not by sight. The righteous will live by eternal perspective, not temporary perspective. It means the righteous will live by what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal, not by what is seen, because what is seen is temporary, very short time exists. Shall we pray together? Yeah. Jesus says, everyone who hears this word of mine and does not put them into practice is a foolish man who built his house on sand. But everyone who hears the words of Jesus and put them into practice is like wise man who built his house on the rock. Let us pray individually, personally, to become wise men and faithful men by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, through our faith. Shall we take individual time to talk to God? Father God, if we are saved by your grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, through faith, our salvation is enough reason for us to be joyful, to be thankful to you, to be peaceful before you. Regardless what happens to us, among us, before us, oh, Lord God, help us to live by faith, not by sight. Help us to know our Father God is a sovereign God, good God, right God, righteous God, just God, holy God. Help us to believe in you. Help us to trust in you, remembering the encouragements of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in God. Trust in me also. Father God, give us more faith to overcome all challenge, all temptation in this world, so that we may be victorious, glorious life for you, in you, by you, in this world. All glory, all honor, back to our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, our Lord. This is our prayer in your name, Jesus' name. Amen.